Thank you very much, Martha. I appreciate you wanting to, or, you know, I know there's a struggle in making a change in our normal ways, and to just call me Kirk, I know that's a, I know that's something different, but, and you chose your songs well. You talked about what a friend we have in Jesus, and God, our creator, the God of all the universe, the highest authority. Nothing, no one is higher than he, and yet he invites us to the intimacy of friendship with him. And if that isn't enough, he molds us. He is molding us into the bride for his son. It just cries out intimacy and love and tenderness and beauty. It makes my heart feel like I'm a part of something. See, that's not the way the world operates. The world operates in looking at authority as putting, as being above someone else. But Jesus, who was above us all, who is our head, himself in the place of, he washed the disciples' feet. The imagery there, over and over again, he speaks to us to let down our walls and invite him in and invite other people in to our hearts. I can't get over that. And I guess it's because I was such a loner all my life. And I've spoken of this before, how all my life I was kind of like on the outside looking in, even as a Christian. Never quite seemed to fit in fully. And that was a lot of because of my own expectations, and I'm a little different. But now I'm, and I also had a shame over me that I didn't know how to get out of. And I've learned. And now I have it's like I have even a greater ability than most people to invite people in and to invite myself in. I mean, not to be afraid, because I've overcome my fears. I think the major thing in the life of a Christian that God is calling us to is to overcome our fears. Overcome our fear of rejection. And that fear of rejection shows its power over us in many different ways, ways we don't realize that is at the core of many of our behaviors, even behaviors that we think may be good. That rejection and the fear of rejection is keeping us from true intimacy. If it keeps us from true intimacy with people whom we can see, then you better believe it's keeping us from intimacy with God whom we can't see. So it's a good practice to look to the Holy Spirit to lead us into overcoming our fear of what people might think of us. And the only real way to do that is to meet it head on and take risks. But in so doing, you really have to seat yourself in faith that it's really God whom I need. And my place here is not to be getting what I need from other people, but it's to be getting what I need for God and giving God to other people. If I can learn to do that, I've said it before, I can learn to do anything. Then I can do all things, because that is the through Christ who is my strength, because I've just leaned on Him in a way that was scary for me. Without Him, I wouldn't be able to do the things I'm doing. I'm also learning to walk by the Spirit in a moment by moment trust and faith that I don't have to worry about tomorrow. You could have a conversation with God where He would be saying to you, yeah, I don't want you to worry about tomorrow. Well, what does that mean, not worry about it? Don't even give it a thought. Aren't I supposed to make plans? Well, you can leave that in my hands. Now, if you start out your day with me, fill yourself with the Holy Spirit, with my Spirit, then I will lead you in what plans you should make. Because a lot of your planning that you do, you're kind of taking over my place. So, back to talking amongst us here. We take over God's place by trying to plan out all the details of our life and get everything figured out. Whereas, you see, what does the scripture say? Man plans his day, but God directs our steps. My whole plan, I could look at my future as like a mountain, and I could plan out that mountain, but it's really too much for me. It's too much for me to handle that mountain. And it's a burden to carry that mountain. It's a burden to carry that mountain. But God says, entrust that mountain to me, He tells us. To trust that mountain to Him. Trust our future to Him. And hold one second, I'm sorry. Okay, sorry. If we trust our mountain to Him, He will give us His yoke. See, we're giving Him our yoke, which is difficult to bear. All our cares and worries, they're all about tomorrow, or this afternoon even, or later. You see, as Martha was singing, it brings to mind the birds singing. What do? Birds wake up in the morning and they sing. Then they go out and look for food to eat right then. And then they fly around. They talk back and forth to one another with their singy voices. And they eat a little more. And the sun starts to go down, and they go to sleep, and they sleep peacefully. Now, how can they do that? How can they live that way? Because they don't have the brains like we do. You see, we can make plans. We can think deeply about this. We can try to figure things out. But the sparrow, he doesn't need to. He just trusts God. God gives him what he needs. He takes care of him. And he sleeps peacefully. So now I'm trying to apply that way of thinking, that way of living to myself. And just worry about today. And just learn to take the step that God has before me. And that's light and easy to bear. I don't have to worry. It makes life enjoyable, so I can just sing through the day in my heart. And you see, when I'm not worrying about something, my heart then is able to hear from God as He wants to direct my steps. But if I'm all worried about my plans, that, well, is this going to work out? What am I supposed to do? I'm not going to hear. I'm probably not going to hear the still, itty-bitty, small, tiny voice that God intimates in me. See, He's a God of intimacy. He wants our hearts be still and know that I am God. Well, yeah, but I got to make my plans for retirement. Be still and know that I am God. I will care for you. How is that going to work, God? I have to make my plans for this weekend. Well, you can make tentative plans. If the Lord wills, we shall live and also do this or that. That's what James says. But as it is, you boast in your arrogance. Behold, all such boasting is evil. Therefore, to one who knows the right thing to do and does not do it, to him it is sin. If we know that we're supposed to give our cares to Him and not worry about them, but then we do that anyway, we're walking a different path. And it's not a path that we're going to be able to hear from God on, because we're not trusting Him. We're trusting in our own brain. We're making ourselves God. Now, I'm not saying that we never make plans, but you hold them with an open hand. Hold everything we have here with an open hand so that the Lord can put things in it as He wills, and He can take out what He wills. If we wrap our hands around it, oh, it's got to be this way. I can't let this not happen. I have to make it work. If we have that attitude, then God's got to, you know, pry our fingers open. And if we grip really hard, then He's got to break them open. Do we want God to have to break our fingers to take things away that He doesn't want for us? And He always wants good for us. So if He wants to take something away, we just have to trust Him that that's for our best. And we don't have to worry. God is good. God is good. All the time, God is good. If God allows something into our life, He does it for our good, because God is good all the time. If He takes something away, God is good all the time. Oh, that wasn't God, that was the devil. But the devil can't do anything unless God allows it. So if God allows the devil to do something, then even in His allowing, He is good. And if something is perplexing us that the devil is doing, we need to look to God, asking Him, like the children of Israel did before they went to war. They would ask God, should we go up? Should we go up to war? Which one of us should start? How do you want us to do it? So when we're being attacked by the devil, we need to have our hearts, instead of taking in the devil's attack and getting all full of consternation and worry and fear, like the children of Israel did when Goliath was taunting them, we need to be like David, who listened to the Lord and followed the Lord's promptings with faith and full assurance. You see, it was by the Lord allowing Goliath to do that, that's what established David in the first place. That's why everybody looked to David. That was really the beginning of him becoming king. Well, one of the parts of the beginning of him becoming king. winning the hearts of the people. It's through our trials that God establishes us, that we learn to follow Him in those trials, through the trials, through it all, like the old song was, through it all I've learned to trust in Jesus. Through it all I've learned to trust in God. I've learned to depend upon His Word. This, what I'm speaking about now, is a big theme in my life, and I speak of it often. I bring it back up because we need to be reminded. It's pretty difficult to bring some new idea into our life by just hearing about it once. It needs to be talked about. This is a big thing in the church, learning to deal in faith with trials and not becoming fearful in the midst of them. Today, I had a bit of a struggle. I misunderstood someone about what time I was supposed to bring my dog to get his hair cut. So I missed it. I missed the opportunity. So he didn't get his hair cut. And his birthday's coming up. And my wife's birthday is on the same day. She really wanted him to have that haircut. And I called her on the phone and was telling her that I missed the appointment. And I could sense in her disappointment, would be saying it lightly. I could sense that she was not thinking of me too highly. And I was trying to fight off shame by the way a child would. And how a child does it is he kind of throws up an anger defense to defend himself. And I was talking to her over the phone, and she was at work. I was using to defend myself. Well, that really wasn't walking by the Spirit. It was the wrong Spirit. But I had to look at what was the source of that, Lord. Why did I do that? And I looked back and in my life and my childhood, and that was the little boy in me trying to ward off shame. So I asked God, Lord, help me to see it coming next time, so that when I see myself start to, when my blood starts to get warm, help me catch that. Help me catch it right away so I can maybe count to three or something and say, it's okay. It's all right. Even if this person thinks that I wasn't acting respectfully or responsibly or whatever, Lord, it's what you think of me. You know I did it in innocence. I wasn't being irresponsible. I misunderstood what the person meant. It was actually the other person who misunderstood and answered me wrongly when I asked them what time. But I had to look at myself and say, I'm acting like a little child here. Now, it's easy, you know, when we go to work or we go to church or we're out in the world, to put on a face that, oh, everything's good. And it's easy to act in a good way in front of other people that we're not around, you know, but our family, that's another story. It takes a lot of energy to put up that front of everything's good. That takes a lot of energy. It's like a facade we're putting up, like a mask we're putting up. It takes more energy to keep that mask up, to keep that facade up. You know, especially if we're in a place of responsibility, especially if we're a leader in the church and people expect us to act godly. Then when we're able to do that, on the outside, even though on the inside we might be having other thoughts. But then when we go home, we can't keep up that mask, that facade, that pseudo-personality. We can't keep that up for. It takes too much energy out of us. So we go home drained because we've been putting up this facade all the time. We've been living out of our own flesh. That's why when we go home, we're drained. Even if we were ministering, if we were really ministering by the Holy Spirit, we'd be like Jesus was. But if we're ministering out of a facade, a false us, a pseudo-personality, that's going to be draining. And when we go home, we're just going to want to sit in front of the TV or something. Unlike Jesus, here's the setting. He just crossed the desert with his disciples. He wasn't even alone. He had his disciples to monitor their childishness, which seemed to come up a lot. And he gets into the outskirts of Samaria and sits down on a rock, sends the disciples into town to get some food, and he's exhausted. He's physically exhausted, and he's hungry and tired and thirsty. And then the woman comes, and he starts to minister to her. And you probably know the story, but it's what happens afterwards. So he spends time ministering to this woman who's dead tired. His flesh, his body is tired. The lady goes off. The disciples come back. The lady goes off. They ask him, why were you talking to that lady? A Samaritan woman, no doubt. Nonetheless. And they were noticing him all pepped up, all full of life. Why is he full of life? He just expended himself. And he said, because, you see, what nourishes me is to do the will of my Father. To minister by the power of the Holy Spirit is empowering. And we give up our worries and our cares, and whether we feel energized naturally or not, we just have faith that God will supply. And so the lady left, and there he's back with his family, you know, his buds, who he's around 24/7 about. And he doesn't sit back and say, okay, guys, go get me something to eat. Now I'm hungry and thirsty. Just start barking at him. He still has the fullness of joy on him. And he says, my food is to do. I get my energy from doing my Father's will. And they were amazed. They were amazed at the life he still had within him, or his renewed strength. So if we find ourselves weary from ministry, maybe it's because we're ministering from our own strength instead of really filling ourselves with the Holy Spirit and ministering the life of God, which is light and easy to bear. And after doing so, it leaves us energized. The Spirit of God is life. It doesn't leave us drained. It nourishes us. It's our food, our nourishment, our source of life, to have the Spirit of God flowing through us, depending on Him. There's nothing better. Nothing energizes me more. Even like today, I didn't get much sleep last night, and I woke up early, and I didn't get back to sleep, and I was an hour and a half ago, I was sitting in my chair wanting to take a nap, but wasn't sleeping again. And then 20 minutes before I had to sit down here, I was wanting to have some coffee. to perk me up. And the thought came to me, let the coffee go. Depend on my spirit. I want coffee. He didn't have to say it. Well, he did say it a few times because I kept trying to go back to the coffee. Well, I don't know if that was really God. But if I'm in doubt, you see, whatever is not of faith, see, if I would have taken that coffee, it wouldn't have been in faith that that's what God had for me. That wouldn't have been in faith because I had to doubt whether that God wanted to have coffee because the thought came to me that I shouldn't, that I should give glory. See, if I would have had the coffee, then I would say, oh, and I came out and God ministered through me and his life, I would have praised the coffee. Oh, sure, I'm glad I had that coffee. But if I don't have the coffee and God does that, then I know where the energy came from and I can give glory to God instead of the coffee. So I did have a couple sips, but I thought better of it. I put it back and said, no. I had some tea instead because that was what came to my mind. Instead of the coffee, have some tea instead. A lot less caffeine in tea. And I feel my energy level. It's not a nervous energy, but it's a peaceful energy. It's a full of life energy that I like to bless people with. And inspires my heart with joy. But it's a peaceful joy. I don't have to worry. I don't have to worry. I've got things with my business that I'm a little perplexed about what to do. This is from God. God wants me to learn to leave my cares, my perplexities over my job, over my business, which involves my limo service, limousines. I have a vehicle that I'm dependent on for about half of my income. I'm thinking about just letting go because it's used, its useful purpose is about used up. So I don't know what to do with it. But what God is telling me to do is not to worry about it, just to take each day, step at a time, and he will lead me each day. So when the time comes for me that I have to make a decision on whether I'm going to renew the limo permit and all that kind of stuff, I'm not going to worry beforehand. God will let me know that day. Or he might let me know earlier, but I don't need him to. It's no different than when I see somebody and my heart goes out to them and I go over to them. I have no idea what I'm going to say. I might tap them on the shoulder, and when they turn around, I just open my mouth, and God puts things in it. And every time, it's good, and we have a good conversation. But I've learned to do this over time. You know, the many times in the beginning, I wasn't so confident, and I didn't speak well, and I acted timidly, but I still did it. That takes an amount of courage that the Spirit of the Lord gives me when I'm obedient to him. Many times we overcome the fear, not by the fear going away and then we do it, but in the midst of the fear, going over and doing it anyway, even though the fear is still there. Looking, see, it helps me to learn to attach my faith to God in that moment, to learn to look to God while I'm doing these things that are fearful. And it teaches me how not to worry, but to have faith and trust and hope. And then I can just walk in love throughout the day. All those things helped me to get to the place now where I'm really practicing not worrying about tomorrow. God, tomorrow, he says, will take care of itself. Meaning, God is God of tomorrow. just like he's God of today. All he wants me to do is walk by the anointing of the Holy Spirit moment by moment by moment throughout the day, day after day. And everything that happens, God is bringing in my life to train me to that end. So no matter what happens, I can look that circumstance in the eye and say, thank you, Lord. This circumstance you are using to train me to learn how to walk by the Spirit in everything, in every kind of trial, in every situation, that you are not surprised. Oh, it's such a relief. It's light and easy to bear. Because I don't have to worry about tomorrow. That's why it's light and easy to bear. I'm in the hands of my daddy. I'm following Jesus, just like the disciples did. They didn't say, oh, okay, Jesus, we got to plan out our schedule for this next week. And then for the month. Then we got to talk about our yearly schedule and then our long-term plans. They didn't do that. They just followed Jesus. And the Spirit was leading Jesus. But now, we have the Spirit in us. So now we just follow the Spirit directly. And we are Jesus in this world. We are the Anointed One. Well, we're supposed to be the Anointed One, but we're all divided. Kind of look like the Bride of Frankenstein, more than Bride of Christ, I think. Because of our divisions, we're all sewn together with stitches. We really need to, and that's because we hold on to all our own little beliefs and pet doctrines, and we don't want to give them up to God. We need to give them up. Let go. Let God build his church in us. He's much better at it than we are. He wants a unified body, and only he can do it. And it's not going to happen by us saying, well, that doctrine isn't important, and this part isn't important, because all those doctrines and things, they represent Jesus' body. And we could say, well, yeah, that arm of Jesus isn't important. But it is. All of our doctrines are important. But God has to do the work. We have to hear from him in holding on to whatever we believe. See, that puts God as being God even over our doctrines. That puts the responsibility on him and takes it off of us. Now it's light and easy to bear. Now we're not arguing, but we're discussing and say, you know, God told me this today. Really, that doesn't fit what I believe. That doesn't fit our doctrine on predestination and subligation of the Holy Spirit, whatever. Well, no, but that's what he told. Huh. Well, I'll tell you what. I'll bring that to him and I'll ask him if that's right. Why don't we just do that? Why can't we just bring our beliefs to God and say, God, will you show me what's wrong in my belief system that I'm hanging on so tightly to because I'm afraid to let go, because otherwise nobody will be my friend in that church and put me out of the synagogue? See, that's what we're afraid of. We're afraid of being put out of the synagogue if we don't hold on tightly to that particular church's belief system. You see why the church is divided? Because we're not trusting God. That's another area we need to trust God in.